Glad to have you listening in here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. We're going to turn our attention now to a new book that's out called Cluck, From Jungle Fowl to City Chicks. And we have the author, Susan Troller, with us today in the studio. The writer, she lives on a small hobby farm. She says for the express purpose of having as many animals as she can stand, and she is the author of Cluck. With me as well, Sue Medeiros, an artist, fantastic artist, as a matter of fact, who lives on a farm in the Driftless area of southern Wisconsin. She draws inspiration from her art of life, from the dogs, the cats, the chickens, the peafowl, the turkeys, and the pigs that she raises, and she is the illustrator for Cluck, and I'm really glad to have them with us today. Do you raise chickens? Do you raise some poultry on your farm? What about, are you in the city and you raise some chickens maybe? Have you run into any problems with that? Maybe you have some backyard chickens. What draws you to them? If you're a chicken owner, what varieties do you raise? How do you choose them? Those are some of the things we can talk about with our two guests today as we visit with them, and I hope you'll join us at 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org, or you can also post a comment on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Susan Troller, welcome.
It's nice to be here, Larry.
Nice.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, well, thank you so much for being with us. Sue Medeiros, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I should turn on your microphone. That would help.
Thanks, Larry.
Now I've got it. And I have to say I've enjoyed the writing, and I've also enjoyed the wonderful illustrations. My goodness, you're a good artist.
Thanks.
what do you say to that? I mean, you really are a great artist. But let's go to the beginning and start at the beginning a little bit. In the opening chapter, Why Chickens, you talk about the resurgence in interest in heritage varieties and having backyard poultry in some very urban areas. How and when did that trend really take off, Susan?
Well, I think that it's really taken off in the last 10 years or so. I think there have always been little areas where people have enjoyed chickens for hundreds, thousands of years, actually. Chickens have been a part of human life. But in the last 10 years or so, with the interest in people wanting to know more about where their food comes from, mm-hmm. Having just a better connection with the land, particularly people in urban areas are saying, why couldn't I have a few chickens? People have cats and dogs and other pets in the city. Why not a handful of chickens? And then we'd have also the benefit of eggs and an interesting critter to have around. They really are pretty fascinating.
They are fascinating, Sue. And you obviously have observed them very closely your illustrations.
Yeah, we moved to the farm in 1998, and we got chickens that first spring. So I've been then the first, my intentions were that I'd use them as models and to have eggs and to have a one chick show of just chicken art. So that was about 3 years in the making. And then in 2004, I had my first chicken show, a one chick show. So.
and then you were sort of how you got together. How was no
by Caroline from Itchy Cat Press, right? Susan?
Right. Yeah. Caroline Beckett and I had worked on a project years and years ago at the Capital Times. We did an endangered species coloring book, mm-hmm. and this was probably 30 years ago. And so that was our first experience with Caroline Beckett, who is a wonderful designer, and she has Itchy Cat Press along with her partner Frank Sandner, and they had approached me and said we adore Sue Medeiros' art, which, as everyone knows who's seen it, is fabulous.
It's fabulous.
And so they had said, we've always wanted to do a project with her, and we love her chicken art. Would you be interested in writing some essays about chickens? And I thought this was just the most incredible opportunity, because my husband had resisted the chicken fever for many years. And of course, when I said I was going to write about chickens, I said, well, certainly we have to have chickens now. So about a year ago, we drove to Viroqua and got some chicks, and that was how we got started.
So what's so fascinating about chickens? I'll ask you both that question. Susan, we'll start with you.
Well, one of the things that's fascinating is that they have quite individual personalities. You know, that isn't something that I anticipated, but they're characters. They're talkative. They have character. Some of them are pretty nice. Some of them are mean, not necessarily mean to people, but they have their little relationships with each other. And it's just a very rich little chicken life. And everybody seems to have a chicken story.
Yeah. And there really is a pecking order.
There truly is a pecking order, and you really can't do much about it. I mean, you might say, well, I'd really like this sweet little chicken to be the top of the order, and I'm going to try and intervene. Well, you're at your peril doing that.
So what about you? What do you find so fascinating about them?
The way they move, their form, they're really hilarious. It's hard to keep a straight face just watching a flock of chickens and watching their interactions. And the reason I wanted to do a show in 2004 was because I knew people didn't really know that much about them or the different faces or postures or breeds of them. So for me, it was an educational show to see, just to tell people about them and show them the different breeds and how they act and the drama of it, of having a flock of chickens.
Yeah, there's drama.
Absolutely, yeah. Especially living in the country, you've got to get all your chickens in before nightfall or the raccoons or possums come. I mean, it's like they have you staked out. They have the chickens staked out and they keep their eye open. So it's very dramatic.
We actually have a chapter in the book that is everything tastes like chicken. You know,
yeah.
I mean, chickens are, who doesn't like chicken? I mean, that's basically the problem. It's not only the wild critters, but our own dogs are terrible chicken predators. So we have to be aware of that. So there is a lot of drama, yeah. And keeping them safe, and sometimes even when you use your best efforts, it isn't enough.
Yeah. They're very wily, all those wild animals out there.
Picking locks and doing all.
Yeah, I can remember years and years ago, one of our our dog at the time, who was the most mild-mannered Labrador, somehow managed to get over into our neighbor's chicken coop, and you probably know the result of
well,
it.
Well, from a dog's point of view, they're the ultimate toy. They squeak, they scream, their feathers come out when you grab them. I mean, they can't fly. They run at just the right speed for you to chase them. I mean, they're the ultimate dog toy. And the minute you bite down, they scream. So it's been a lot of training for us to get our dogs to not just want to chase them. It's a lot of work.
Well, we actually had a little Father's Day weekend disaster with our dogs just a couple days ago. And this is the subject of the attack was a chicken named Goldie who has survived many things. She was bitten by a possum.
On
the rump, yes. Yeah. That is the story of how Goldie lost her butt. And then there she was also attacked by an owl. And on Saturday, she was in Sebastian, the giant puppy poodle's mouth, and there was a lot of screaming and feathers. I am happy to report that she now has no feathers on the back end, but she is still laying eggs.
Oh, man. Susan Troller and Sue Medeiros are guests today. They are, well, the author and the artist for the book Cluck, From Jungle Fowl to City Chicks. It's a fascinating and fun read. Glad to have them along today. You can join in, too, with your own questions or comments at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. What do you think about chickens? You like chickens? You have them on your own? Do you live in the city and have some? I'd love to hear from some of those people as well. So you might be one of them. Again, 1-800-642-1234. Just talking about dogs, one of the things I noticed in the book, and Judith, I think, may have first commented on it, the series of drawings, illustrations you have with dogs, involving dogs and chicken, immediately what came to my mind was a Norman Rockwell. You have some Norman Rockwell-like pictures that really capture, you know, I grew up on a farm, you know, when I was a kid, I could see those events kind of in my mind on the farm.
Yeah, well, they're great models. And whenever specifically the dog ones, that was for the Lives of Farm Dogs show that I did. Yeah. And I picked the specific farms and learned about the dogs. So the scenes that I set up to do photos and sketches from were very, very specific to what I was trying to say. And yeah, I love Norman Rockwell. He's amazing. He's an amazing illustrator. So
well, and you're an amazing artist. And Susan, your art, your stories are amazing too. I love the stories of how you got into it and everything else. But I want to get Gay and Madison on quickly here before we take a break. Gay, hi. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, hi. I was just about to go out and muck out my coop when the show came on, so I was very happy to hear about that. Since, you know, most people would find that odious, but I love it. I like everything about chickens. I've had two flocks. Now I'm down to one. One was predated by a something, probably a raccoon, in this flock, and then the other one died of some odd disease just last week, which is unfortunate because we're trying to get ready for the Tenny Lapham Neighborhood Tour de Coops. It's coming up this Saturday. What is that date? The 25th?
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to start on Dayton Street. There'll be a chicken sign out. I think it's a 900 block of Dayton. And then there'll be a map, and it starts at 11 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, that well, that sounds like fun. That sounds like a lot of fun, Susan.
I think it sounds great. And one of the things that's been really fascinating for me, learning about chickens, researching them, writing about them, having my own chickens, is the kind of chicken fever that seems to be kind of sweeping the country. Madison has had a wonderful Mad City chicken group that has been around for, I think, quite a long time. I'm not sure the number of years.
2005, about when the ordinance came in that you could have chickens.
Yeah.
But I think that even before that, people were kind of
the poultry underground.
There
yeah.
was the poultry underground,
yep.
And so it's a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun. And we'll continue talking with our guests, Susan Troller and Sue Medeiros, right up until 12:30 today here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. So happy to have you listening in here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here. We're talking about chickens on the show right now with the author and the illustrator for the book Cluck, From Jungle Fowl to City Chicks. And it is a very fun, fascinating read, and I'm glad to have Sue Medeiros, who is the illustrator for the book, and Susan Troller, who wrote many of the pieces in the book, or most of the pieces in the book, with me in the studio today. Certainly, if you have questions or comments, every line is filled now, but the number is 1-800-642-1234, or email us at talk@wpr.org. And Susan, one of the things I kind of like about the book is that it reads very well from front to back, but you can kind of pick it up and put it down, too, yeah. Because there are pieces. Well, go ahead.
Well, I think that we started really with Sue's art, and that was one of the reasons that we were interested in doing something that was essays and that are, in a sense, standalone pieces, that the art works with the essays, and we also have several wonderful writers who contributed to the book too. Ben Logan has a couple of wonderful pieces about chickens, and Jane Hamilton has great piece about chickens
and cats,
and so does Michael Perry. So it was fun for all of us to mine our chicken stories and write essays, and then have them work with Sue's art, and so it works either in pieces or as a narrative, start to finish.
You know, Mike Perry's piece on how to hypnotize a chicken took me back, because there was a system that Bob Sullins from eighth grade at Cottage Grove Grade School showed me once with one of his chickens, where he turned the chicken kind of up on its back, and he held his fingers up in a kind of a V and went right toward the head, and the chicken went right to sleep. Mike Perry talks about a different way to do it.
Well, I think that just as every person has a chicken story, many former farm boys have hypnotized a chicken farm story as well.
Well, it's a delightful. It really is a delightful piece. All of the pieces. Jane Hamilton's piece, I thought, was a lot of fun too. You know, that chicken can manhandle a cat, but can't deal with some other things.
Well, that's one of the things that both Sue and I have found very amusing is the dynamic between not just the chickens and the pecking order among the chickens, but also the relationship of all of our animals on our farms among each other and with the chickens. You know, in some cases, the chickens can stare down the dogs, and in other cases, the dogs chase the chickens. So there's never a dull moment.
Let's take a call here. Jolentra in Madison, on to you. Thank you for calling.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm a lifelong Madison resident who has currently developed an acute case of chicken fever, and I'm just delighted to hear this discussion because you guys are totally cracking me up with these anecdotes. I never knew you could hypnotize a chicken or that they had personalities or any of these things. So I'm absolutely cracking up. Anyway, I can't wait to run out and get this book. I want to know if the book has specific, steps or information, advice, et cetera, that I can get on how to actually take the plunge and get some chickens.
Sort
Where
of,
do I go?
Yeah, it's not a one, do this, do that, do the other thing. But Susan, you certainly talk about the process you went through.
The book talks about our individual experiences, but this I wouldn't recommend it as the how-to one-stop shop for chicken raising. There are some great books out there by Gail Damerow. Chickens for Dummies is a book that a good friend of mine who just got chickens is swearing by. There are a lot of good how-to books. I would say that our book is more why chickens, why we love them, yeah. Why we find them interesting, why they have meaning, particularly in our contemporary lives that are so not chicken-like. So,
right. That's fascinating. Well, thank you so much for taking my call. I can't wait to pick up your book.
Thank you for calling. Joyce in Sheboygan will turn to you next. Hi, Joyce. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Yes, your program is most interesting, of course, and you're speaking with an animal lover, big time. Every time we needed a new dog in our home, we always went to the shelter, and always we never disappointed. I'm prefacing this because I'm totally against having chickens in the city. I moved here from Arizona. And if you live in a city that is liberal with this type of housing animals that are noisy, barking dogs are prohibited, and they are, controlled, hopefully, by the police department or whatever animal protection agency. But nobody controls a chicken at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning.
Well, and you know what? Just to go along with that, Joyce, I had a Facebook comment from David who said, boy, is this a hot topic in Eau Claire. This was voted down last year. I personally don't have anything against having chickens, but it's a hot topic in some cities.
It is indeed a hot topic, but one of the things that I think has that eliminates the noise problem in most of the urban areas is that roosters are not wanted, and for a good reason, because they are noisy. But actually, hens themselves are rather quiet little critters, no more noisy than a small dog. I don't know what your experience, Sue, has been, but my hens are very, very quiet. They're chatty, but no one would be able to hear them from an adjacent house when they're talking.
Yeah, I think if it's a small flock of chickens, I think what's the rule? I think it's 3 or 4 chickens.
In Madison, I believe it's 4.
And yeah, you're not allowed to have roosters at all. But, you know, if, with the songbirds out there in the spring and a small flock of chickens, I think it would be a good contest between the two. I don't think I'd hear chickens more than I would the songbirds.
Roosters are another matter, and you have a hilarious chapter in the book about people's experiences with roosters.
Roosters are another thing. The section of the book is called Wicked Roosters This Way Come, and many of them are. They can be kind of aggressive. They have big personalities. They have big ideas about their flocks. Sue has a particularly wonderful rooster story about her famous rooster who inspired one of her best pieces of art, Big Tiny.
Big Tiny was a pretty nice rooster.
Yeah, he was a great rooster. He inspired a 20-foot mural after his demise. But he was just a very gentle, huge giant. He was a buff Orpington, beautiful gold color. And when he came out of the coop, all the hens would come running towards him, which in my experience is kind of the opposite of what you usually see hens do when roosters come out of the coop. They usually usually run as fast as they can to get away from them. And at night, he'd spread his wings out on the top of the roost, and all the hens would snuggle him next to him on either side. He was a very comforting father type figure to these hens.
And he knew how to get a hen's attention.
Yeah, he did. They have a special clucking sound, a special sound they make to let the hens know that there's good food over here. And he'd make that noise. They'd all come running, and then he'd step back and let them eat it all. So he was just a very generous, sweet old guy.
He was a gentleman among roosters, wasn't he?
Yeah, because there's other roosters who will make that sound, and then when the hen's not looking, he'll jump them. So, yeah, it was a big difference between Big Tiny and, say, Chuckles.
Oh man, Shirley in Chippewa Falls. We'll go to you next. Hi, Shirley. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for taking my call. I have a couple of fun rooster chicken stories. One is a wicked rooster. You know, when I was about 10 years old, we had what we called a range rooster. He had spurs 3 inches long, and he would chase my sister and me unmercifully. And my father used to say, if you just stand up to him, he'll be fine. He won't bother you. And one day he was under the tractor, laying on his back doing something, and about 4 inches of his leg was showing out of his pant leg, and the rooster decided to attack. So it was no matter of standing up to him, we had stew.
I think a lot of roosters wind up that way, don't they, Susan?
Yes, actually they do. That is, you know, it's the sort of the ultimate decision that you make when you have a bad rooster.
Thanks a lot for calling, Shirley. Appreciate your call very much. And by the way, we have open lines finally again, so you can join us at 1-800-642-1234. We'll get you on pretty quickly. Lisa in St. Germain up next. Hi, Lisa. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I am picking up my first brood tomorrow morning. I'm getting 10 chicks. And my main question is, there's a website out there, backyardchickens.com, which is very useful, and it recommends medicated feed, and I was wondering what you folks think about that.
I typically do start them on medicated feed just for a little bit of time, just to be sure. You know, it's going to, if you are using these, you know, if they're going to lay eggs, it's going to be way out of their system really quickly. So usually, and I think at the book that I use, Gail Damereau's book, is my sort of guidebook to how to do this. And she had recommended it first off, but you get them off it fairly quickly. It's just at the very beginning when they arrive in the mail or when you pick them up, they can be a little bit weak and need some sustenance, some protection. That's me. That's me.
And then when I ordered them, they said that, and I ordered 10 of them, I'm getting 2 whites, I think 4 blacks, 4 reds, and they said even though the whites are the best layers, they're the meanest chickens, which is why I probably only got 2, and I'm not
No,
that's true, but
I don't think you can make that generalization. I know some people who swear by barred rocks, and those were the two meanest hens I've ever had. So I think it's different from everybody.
Yeah,
and then they don't start laying. Is it? I think 20 weeks they say about
that.
Or maybe my chickens were just kind of lazy, but they didn't really start laying with any kind of reliability until they were about 6 months old.
It depends what type they are and what season it is when you get them, too. If you get them early in the spring, they might lay earlier. It just depends. And the Rhode Island Reds, for example, who were bred specifically for laying lots of eggs, for me, they were always the first ones who started laying. And then some of the other decorative heritage breeds would take a little longer.
Okay. So I won't have anything till fall, late fall probably, which is what I expected. So.
Probably. That's right.
All right. Well, thanks so much.
Have fun with your chickens. I'm kind of envying somebody who's getting their little chicks in the mail tomorrow. You'll have lots of fun with them.
I know. I'm so excited.
Well, and I'm pretty sure you're going to enjoy reading Cluck as well.
I will get it, too.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. We had a comment from Sharon on our Facebook page. It's going on a year now since we started our chicken adventure. I now have 10 beautiful girls and a majestic white rooster. They free range all over the place all day and retire to the coop on their own each night. We currently get brown, white, and green eggs. They sit on the porch railing and greet visitors and peck in the window at me.
It sounds typical, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know, you let them out of the coop, and they do want to come and hang around with the people. I find that when I'm gardening or when we're out on the porch watching the sunset, before the chickens go up to their coop by themselves, they often sort of parade across the porch and chat with us for a little while. So they're pretty interesting little critters.
Thank you again for calling. Yvette in Whitewater, on to you now. Hi, Yvette.
Hey, good morning.
Hi, what's on your mind?
Well, thanks for doing the show. I'm calling in. I love my chickens. It was my dream to have chickens, and I grew up in Detroit, and I'm a teacher here at Fort Atkinson, and I love my job and love my kids, but this year I thought I was teaching biology, and I decided to, instead of incubating my eggs, I just take eggs from the girls and raise them. I brought them into the classroom, and only one made it, and for whatever reason, I don't know if I didn't keep enough water in there, and my classroom's, you know, is dry, whatever, but only one made it, and the kids named her Scrambles, and she's a Phoenix Americana cross, and everyone in the school, it was hilarious. None of them knew she was a chicken because she's not white, and so she became this instructional tool, and the students, you would not believe the high school students with this chicken. I mean, it was amazing. We're doing labs dissecting pigs, and Scrambles is riding around on people's shoulders, and she was so content, and all my students, all they wanted to do was hold Scrambles, and she almost became sort of like a therapy chicken. But now it's the end of the school year, and I have a half-grown chicken, and I want to put her out with the flock so she can. I have free range, like you've been talking about. My chickens have the run of the farm, and they do amazing things for my horses. They scratch at the poop, and everything I read about in Saladin's book, you know, they do all that stuff. But my question is, every time I put her out there, she doesn't defend herself. She just gets pecked, and then I end up rescuing her from the top of a shed somewhere. Do I have any prayer of getting her in with the girls? I mean, is it possible, or do I have a pet now?
Susan, what do you think?
I think you have a pet now.
But
I'd also think that it might be possible if you got another young chicken about her age and put them together, then if you had a couple who were friends with each other, that might be a possibility. What do you think, Sue?
There is safety in numbers, definitely. I'm getting some new chicks because raccoons took off with all my Polish last year.
Oh, no.
But so I'm getting a big flock of them because they're not very aggressive. They can't see, but if there's enough of them, the other chickens kind of don't know what to do. I mean, they might start something, but there's, and I'll have a male in there, a couple males in there too, so they'll defend their hens. But I don't do it till they're quite a bit older, till they can kind of defend themselves. But, you know, there's some books and places online where they take you through steps on how to do it more, how to introduce new chickens to your flock. So I know there's a way. I haven't had much success if it's just a couple, you know, or just one chicken.
Yeah. Last year I had my older chickens and then I raised like 30 of them. I went to one of those, the Beaver Dam poultry swap. Oh my God. And I got all these babies and they all ended up being roosters, which was beautiful, but then it became a nightmare. I'll tell you what, it was like in the fall we had a very unhappy experience that day because I wasn't looking, I was hoping they'd all be hens, you know, but having to deal with roosters is tough. But I was going to tell you, I have my first brood I bought on Craigslist. It was 35 chickens for $30 and the guy didn't have the heart to bump them off, right? So there were all... There were like four of them that were those meat chickens that were way far gone. They could barely walk.
The broilers?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no. But they were beyond broilers. I mean, we're talking ginormous turkey size, right? And in it was this ginormous rooster named Red. And he's the biggest chicken I've ever seen in my life. And he is exactly like what you just described, that buff rooster.
Orpington?
He takes care of his girls. Oh, my goodness. And if the water's low, he's in my face. He's like, hey, we need some water over here. and he takes care of them like there was a coyote, and he's calling. He's like, hey, get out of here with the rifle. I mean, he's just, he's awesome. And I just highly recommend to anyone who's into chickens, they're amazing animals. And they do have personalities. And, boy, they give you more than eggs. They just fill your heart up.
Yeah, great comments. Susan, a comment back?
Well, I think that you really put your finger on the experience that people are finding who haven't had chickens before, that you get them and they're interesting, and there's the egg part, which is great. They are very entertaining, and their relationships with each other and their relationships with us are deeper and more interesting than we ever could have imagined.
I just wanted to finish with my favorite chicken of all time is the Silver Phoenix, and I lost one this year to a fox. It was heartbreaking for me, but at the same time, I refuse to cage my girls up. I won't do it. I'm not going to take away their freedom in order to protect them. And I just pray every day that the predators will find something else to eat.
Well, that's a great story, Yvette, and thank you so much for calling. You know, and she mentioned, I mean, it's got to be hard if you're raising. I think that's why most people, as I think you point out in the book, why most people have chickens for the eggs, if they're going to have four five or something like that, and not for meat, because I would guess it would get to be pretty hard to whack the head off with an axe.
Well, I raise specific birds just for meat, so I don't get too attached to them.
Yeah.
And they're the big broilers, and they're genetically bred so that they don't do so well if they stay alive for a long time. They just get really heavy. But not my ornamental, not my models. I don't eat my models.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the most fun places to visit at the Wisconsin State Fair is the poultry barn. The types of chickens that you find in there are just absolutely amazing.
The range of size and color and breed and characteristics, feather characteristics from the phoenix that the caller was talking about, to the frizzles, to the silkies. I mean, Sue has had some wonderful art of the Polish hens, which have these top knots on their heads that are hilarious. They look like they're wearing something they could wear to one of the British royal weddings.
and as you say, the feathers look like fur almost on some of them. I mean, they're fascinating. By the way, I've almost forgotten to ask how people can get copies of your book. So let's get into that for a minute. Tell us, Susan.
Well, the book is available online at Itchy Cat Press. com. It's also available at independent bookstores and at the museum shops at the Madison Museum of Contemporary Art here in Madison, and also at the State Historical Society Museum. And I believe it's also available online through Barnes & Noble and Amazon.
And if you go to the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page, you're going to find it there. We have a link there that will get people to Itchy Cat and more information on where to go for those books. Boy, this has been fun.
A lot of fun. I want to just mention one other thing. Itchy Cat has a number of other wonderful books on their website. So it's a fun place to go and take a look if you like to read.
Absolutely. And we've had many authors from Itchy Cat Press on this show. Susan, Sue, thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. I really appreciate it. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you, Larry.
Thank you.
Susan Troller, writer, lives on a small hobby farm. And she was the author. Sue Medeiros, artist who lives on a farm in the Driftless area of southern Wisconsin. And I tell you what, they have put together a wonderful book, and I certainly recommend it to you. Again, the book is called Cluck, From Jungle Fowl to City Chicks. Just taking a look tomorrow, Phil Pelletieri will be along to talk about the wonderful world of insects. Stay with us. Lots in store here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.